This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin by praising Allah Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic, the Almighty. And we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single person who embraces the prophetic path, the prophetic teachings with ikhlas, with sincerity until the end of time. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, sisters because perhaps they will listen or watch the recording later on, I remind myself and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jum'ah, and those of you who may listen and watch the recording later on, to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to be conscious of your Maker. And you must do this, O my congregation, O believers, O slaves of Allah, if you wish to attain victory, if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter, the permanent life of the hereafter, the life that we are headed towards without a shadow of doubt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. The blessed lands that have witnessed and felt the footsteps of prophets alayhimus salatu wassalam. Olive trees have witnessed centuries of prayers. Today, those skies are heavy, not with clouds, but with the cries of the oppressed, with the laments, with the distressed laments, the blood-curdling laments of the oppressed. Our hearts, as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he is reported to have said, the narration goes along the lines of these words, that the Muslim nation is like one body, is like one body. And if any part of that body were to be in pain, any part, it can be a finger, it can be a tiny nail, be in pain, what happens? The entire body aches in response. You develop a fever, the entire body aches in response. So our hearts turn with aching sorrow towards Rafah, a city in the Gaza Strip. Subhanallah. Those of you who have been following, it's so difficult. You see, from the north of Gaza, our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, being driven, being carpet bombed mercilessly from the north of Gaza to, for example, Deirul Balah, and then from Deirul Balah to Khan Yunis, and then from Khan Yunis, now Rafah. All eyes on Rafah. It's trending today. It is trending today. All eyes on Rafah. You have interviews, you have videos surfacing of the senseless violence that is taking place, subhanallah. You have doctors who are being interviewed, you have aid workers who are being interviewed, who are depicting very clearly with their words, with their emotional words, with their pictures, with videos that they have taken of what's actually happening. The ground situation, subhanAllah. The ground situation. It is the biggest open air prison. These aid workers, as they make their way towards these lands, towards these cities, you have high walls, barbed wire, forces, guards, no one can leave. And as you enter, all you see is rubble. You see destruction all around you. Here we are, seated within the comfort of this beautiful house of Allah, whilst a genocide is happening. Later, as we look back at this in history, how are we going to, number one, answer to our own selves as to what did you do? How did you react? Did you turn a blind eye? Did you shed one tear? Yes. What can be done, it varies and it is subjective. Not everyone can do everything. At times your hands are tied, your resources are limited. But did you at least shed one tear? Did you raise your hands and make dua for your brethren? Did your heart ache in response? Or have we become immune as this genocide happens in front of our eyes? In the past, my dear brothers and sisters, there was an excuse where perhaps you would only come to know of the genocide after the actual genocide takes place. So there's very little that you can do. But today, because of the advent of technology, because of social media, because of phones and videos and the internet, we are witnessing it live, and we have these tyrannical statements where there is complete disregard for human rights, for the sanctity of human lives. Children, subhanAllah, infants being bombed, being killed mercilessly. Mercilessly. So you see these videos surfacing of destruction and rubble all around. There are claims that these attacks are precise attacks, precisely coordinated attacks on specific targets. But when you look at the video surfacing, it doesn't look like it is anything to do with precision. It is just mass carpet bombing. And as these aid workers go in, they tell us that there is the constant sound of drones, the constant sound of drones. Sirens. You have three types of drones. One drone that constantly goes about surveillance. They're monitoring every single move. Even if you see people are displaced, their homes are bombed, their homes are destroyed to rubble. And when they try to come back after the destruction has taken place to perhaps look for their loved ones, look for their children, look for their belongings, they're bombed again. So you have drones, surveillance drones. You have drones with machine guns attached to fire at will. And you have drones with missiles. So there's the constant sound of drones overhead. Just imagine life. Just imagine every single day. How? Try to put yourselves in their shoes. Can you even think of a normal day with drones going about? You never know when a bomb is going to land, when a missile is going to come crashing down, when your home, or you know, if you can call it a home, your tent perhaps, your little structure is going to come crashing down. SubhanAllah. A father carries his child's face is torn apart, mangled. Oh fathers in the crowd, how much we love our children. Then think of the pain, think of the anguish. He rushes to the hospital. And when we say hospitals today, we have ample hospitals to choose from. We have medical plans to cover us. Oh, if you can't find the treatment locally, go to Mount Elizabeth, go to Singapore, go to the US and get your treatment. No hospitals. You know of the famous Ashifa hospital, bombed. Now you have makeshift clinics that are trying to be hospitals. Doctors in the crowd would relate. Look at the trauma they're dealing with. Look at the violence they're dealing with. They're not equipped. They don't have ICUs. They don't have medical equipment to deal with that kind of trauma. So a father rushes his child with a mangled face, jaws hanging, blood all over, rushes to the hospital. When I say hospital, makeshift clinic. He rushes, his only hope is crying out, "Ya Allah, help us, help us." And the doctor reassures him. The doctor gives him confidence. The doctor fills his hope. "We're going to try to do our level best. Inshallah, we're going to save your son. We're going to save your son." And he places his tawakkul in Allah. He tries to fill his heart with hope, only to come back later and see the site where the hospital was is bombed and destroyed. His child gone, the doctor that tried to reassure him gone, bits and pieces, the entire hospital in rubble. No power, no electricity, no food, no water. A little bit of a crisis, and many of us were running abroad. Why? We could not do with the power cuts, with the power outages. Constantly no power, no food, no water, no clean water, no medicine. And they're trapped, cornered. 50, 60, 70% women, elderly, and children below the age of 12. Being killed mercilessly. But subhanallah, their spirit, their courage, their resilience, the smile on their faces. You've seen the videos, my dear brothers, their statements full of iman, full of sabr, full of courage, never questioning the plan of Allah, rather saying statements like, "This has brought us closer to Allah. Allahu Akbar. This has brought us closer to Allah." A father weeping and lamenting over the loss of his child. "Inna al-'ayna tadma." Yes, tears are flowing from the eyes. The heart is heavy, but we will never say, "Illa ma yarda Rabbana." We will never say something except that it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not going to question the plan of Allah. We will join our families soon in Al-Jannah. They're getting the smell of musk from the shuhada, from the martyrs. The smell of musk. They're witnessing miracles happening in front of their eyes. And their statement is, "Our iman is now stronger. Our iman is stronger. We do not question, Ya Allah, why are you putting us through this whilst the rest of the world is enjoying? Why are our children being massacred? Why are our women folk being humiliated?" No. They're full of courage. They're full of iman. They're full of sabr. And their faces still beam with smiles, with happiness. You've seen the faces of those children. Subhanallah. Despite the trauma, despite witnessing, you ask anyone there, the statement of these aid workers, my dear brothers and sisters, you talk to any Palestinian, and he'll tell you, within his network, within his social network, he has lost so many loved ones. "Oh, perhaps my son was killed. He may have 4 children, 1 child killed, bombed. Easily 4 or 5 lost, dead. And 10, 20 seriously injured, maimed, limbs lost, mangled." Subhanallah. This is what is happening there. So we as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must ache in response. We must ache in response. We must not Some of us are going through a crisis of faith amidst of this. They are rising in their iman. They are witnessing the help of Allah. They are seeing Jannah in front of their eyes. And we sit within the comfort and the luxury that we have. And we are now having a crisis of faith. Why is Allah doing this? Where is Allah? Subhanallah. How petty. Look at their iman in the midst of it. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the midst of the burning fire, his connection with Allah was strong. He was commanded, we are heading into his season, Dhul Hijjah. He was commanded to slaughter his son. Did he turn around and question, Ya Allah, what is this? Why am I to slaughter my son and a son that he got after so long? After so long. Did he question the plan of Allah? No. He complied. And until today we celebrate, we commemorate, we remember his sacrifice by slaughtering animals and feeding the poor, feeding the needy, feeding the hungry. He was commanded to leave his wife, to leave Hajar alayhi salam and his son Ismail in the middle of nowhere. Yes, Makkah, but was it developed Makkah like it is today, with a number of hotels, a number of restaurants? Nothing, just the desert. He was commanded, leave them there. Leave Hajar and your son Ismail. Divine command from Allah. Did he question Allah, Ya Allah, why? How is this humanly? How am I to leave them? Who will look after them? He left them. And until today, millions, millions. Last time the official figures were 3 million plus, and this time they're expecting a much bigger crowd. Millions flock to Mecca. Why? For what? To do shopping? Amusement parks? Holiday? To perform Umrah, to perform Hajj, to perform the rituals, to perform Sa'i, Bayna Safa wal Marwa. Remembering our mother Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam as she ran back and forth, drinking from the water of Zamzam that gushed forth then and is gushing forth until today. My point being, after sacrifice, after beautiful patience, comes about beautiful results. So definitely, the Palestinian people are an amazing people. They are powerful in terms of their resilience. They are powerful in terms of their courage. Al-izzatu li ahli Gaza. There is izza, there is nobility, there is honor for the people of Gaza, for the people of Palestine. So you might be thinking, I'm Sri Lankan, what do I have to do with this? Yes, we're Sri Lankans, but we're also the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let your hearts ache in response, O my brothers, O my sisters. Do not become immune. You see, you have pros and cons to being exposed to this, to the genocide. One is to make yourself aware, and another is to, you know, keep scrolling. You become so immune to it. Oh, it's another attack. It's another killing. It's another bombing. We become immune to it. Do not become immune. Keep empathizing. That is the key thing. Think of your own children. Think of the comfort of your home. You're able to go back to what you call a house, a home. You've got your roof, you've got your air conditioning, you've got your 24/7 internet, you've got your solar power systems, you've got food in your pantries, you've got your vehicle parked safely in your garage, you've got bank accounts, you've got your businesses, you've got your assets, you've got your holiday homes. What have they got other than tents and camps that can be bombed any moment? Any moment. And they're being driven. If you look at it, if you have some information about it, you'll see the entire Gaza Strip. They're at the end, at the border of Egypt. They have nowhere to go. They thought a few days ago that it was a ceasefire. And they were celebrating the fact that, Alhamdulillah, some time to breathe, a breather. And then the next minute, Rafah, which was designated as a safe zone, they cannot be attacked there. Again, carpet bombing. So just imagine. And then when these aid workers reached out to them, Look at the resilience, my dear brothers. Look at this. Just a few days before Rafah was attacked, there were messages from people there towards these aid workers, towards these doctors. All of this is online on interviews. You can see it. Where they were happy. It's good news. Ceasefire has taken place. A court order has been decreed. The world is awakening. And they were happy. They were celebrating that. And then just few days later, immediately bombing of Rafah. And when these aid workers again reached out to these people who had reached out, most of them were killed. Most of them were martyred. And those who were alive, they thought they would be devastated. You know what their response was? Tawakkalna ala Allah. We place our trust in Allah. What else are we to do? What else are we to do? We place our trust in Allah. Look at the resilience, look at the strength, look at the courage. Mothers coming, rushing out of the rubble, carrying their children, showing victory signs, saying that our children are victorious, they're going to be martyrs, they're going to be in Jannah, they're in paradise. They're not giving in the spirit. Allahu Akbar. This should serve as a lesson for us as we witness this happening, my dear brothers and sisters. Get closer to Allah. Them being in the middle of the bonfire, they are getting closer to Allah. You and I witnessing it. A, we don't even have a response to say in front of our Lord when Allah asks you, this happened to your brethren, what did you do? Our hands are tied. Then let us at least get closer to Allah. Let us wake up. When we pray, let us make dua. Let us weep. Let us cry. Let us turn to Allah. Let our hearts ache. Then at least when we stand in front of Allah, we can say, our hearts ached in response, Ya Allah. I shed tears, Ya Allah. I raised my hands in dua, Ya Allah. And that is all I could do. My dear brothers and sisters, our hearts ache in response, and we pray for the people of Gaza that Allah eases their affairs, that Allah fills their hearts with patience, that Allah rewards them every step of the way. The words of the messenger ring in my ears, not even a thorn pricks a believer. Subhanallah, kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Along the lines of these words, if my memory serves me right, sins are forgiven, ranks are raised. If by a single thorn, then just imagine bombs dropping on your head. Just imagine your home being reduced to rubble. Just imagine your net worth going to zero. Just imagine children being murdered, infants, your own children being murdered, your spouse being killed, your parents being killed, you losing limbs. Just imagine the reward. Just imagine their rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we sincerely pray, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their affairs. May Allah raise them with the shuhada, with the anbiya, with the salihun. May Allah open our hearts towards making dua for them, towards helping them in every way possible. May Allah not make us immune to the senseless violence that is taking place. May Allah ease their affairs. May Allah ease their affairs. Allahumma a'izza al-Islam wal-Muslimin. We sincerely pray for the Muslimun. We sincerely pray for our brethren in Palestine. May Allah ease the affairs of those in Gaza. May Allah ease the affairs of our sisters there, of the young children there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them. May Allah raise their ranks. May Allah provide aid towards them. May Allah fill their hearts with iman. And may Allah fill our hearts with iman, with sabr, with the understanding to look at everything through the lens of tawakkul, not to question the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as how He united us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the garden of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wa, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.